Good evening. You're listening to the Candidates Forum, sponsored by the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce, being broadcast live on WTAW 1620 and being streamed on KBTX.com. We'll remind you that tonight's forum, both the school board candidates and the College Station City Council candidates we're about to talk to, will be archived on our website at WTAW.com. We thank you for being here tonight. Remember, if you're just into the room, a message that we'd like for you to please silence your cell phones. If you do that for us, please silence your cell phones, and hopefully the candidates have done that as well. We'll use basically the same ground rules that we did before. We'll have opening comments, and then we'll take basically business-related questions that we will give to the candidates, and each candidate will have an opportunity to answer within their space. For each of the candidates, they'll answer first sometimes and second sometimes, or third or fourth. So an opportunity for each to answer first and each to answer last. So let's meet the candidates now, and once again, we'll introduce Tap Benz from Outback Steakhouse.
Thanks, Scott. Once again, on behalf of the Board of Directors and the staff of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce, I'd like to welcome the candidates to tonight's local candidate forum featuring the candidates for College Station City Council. Scott DeLucia of WTAW will be serving as this session's moderator, and we'd like to thank him for his participation, as well as WTAW and KBTX.com for broadcasting this live on air and on their website. At this time, I'd like to introduce the Place One candidates for College Station City Council. First, Blanche Brick. She is a division chair and a member of the social sciences faculty at Blinn College. She has a BA from Baylor University, an MA from George Washington University, an MA from the University of Hawaii, and a PhD from Texas A&M. She has lived here for 30 years with her husband, Bob, and they have two grown children, Kathleen and John. Sean Rhodes. He is the Director of Regulatory Affairs for Key Claims. He has a BS in Political Science. He has lived in College Station for 20 years with his wife, Lee, and their children, Aaron and Andy. Place three candidates, Carl P. Mooney. He's the Director of Advising at Texas A&M University. He has a BA in English education from Trenton State College, an MA from Jersey City State College, and a Doctor of Education from Lehigh University. He has lived in College Station for 13 years with his wife, Laura, and have two grown children, Paul, Narissa, and Tara. Arthur A. Pinto. He is a retired plant engineer. He has a BS in Mechanical Engineering from New Jersey Science and Technology University. He's lived in College Station for 2.5 years with his wife, Lena, and they have a grown son, Steve. Place five, Sherry L. Ellison. She is a retired research assistant from Texas A&M. She has a BA in anthropology and a BA in zoology, both from the University of Texas. She has lived in College Station for 26 years with her husband, John Robert. They have grown children, Barbara and Michael. Hal Hawkins. Is a realtor at Century 21 Beale. He has a BS in Business Administration from Letourneau University, an MBA in Real Estate from the University of Texas at Arlington. Julie Merrifield Schultz. She is the owner-manager of Schultz Engineering, graduated from A&M Consolidated High School, and attended Texas A&M University. She has lived in College Station for 31 years, and she and her husband Joe have two children, Ashley and Allie. And also on the ballot, but not here tonight, Danielle Shake.
Thank you, Tap. We'll begin with opening comments. You'll have 1.5 minutes maximum for your opening statement. Then we'll ask questions, and you'll have 1 minute to answer those questions, and there may be follow-ups as we decide. Then you will be provided with 1 minute for a closing statement. So now we begin with the opening statement. First, Blanche Britt.
Thank you. Is this where you can hear? Okay. Thank you very much to the Chamber and WTAW for hosting this and giving us an opportunity. I think this is wonderful to see this many people who have come in person, and I know that others are listening, and I appreciate their taking the time to listen to the issues. I have taught history for over 25 years now at Blinn College, and I have a long and lasting appreciation for the democratic process. I have tried to do in my teaching what I am trying to do in running for office, and that is to help preserve it and to make it a vital part so that we can pass that on to our children and our grandchildren. As stated, I am the division chair of social sciences. I've had experience working with some problems of budgeting and problems that involve getting people to work together, a faculty of over 80 that we have in the division of social sciences. So I feel like I bring some of those skills with me, but primarily I'm interested in right now at this point in time the idea that we're facing in College Station a growth that is a good thing, but over the last 10 years we've experienced 38% growth rate, and this is in the midst of a recession, national recession. So obviously there are things that we need to be considering, the best use, the best means for us to move forward and not go over time as I've just done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Blanche Brick. Now the second candidate in place one, Sean Rhodes.
Howdy, I'm Sean Rhodes. I guess I came to College Station as a student at Texas A&M University. I've got married, had a couple of kids. I've had the opportunity to experience College Station both from the eyes of a student, and the eyes of a father, and the eyes of a husband. I've taken advantage of any number of things that the city has had for us to do. In the way of parks for my kids, I've probably watched them play or compete on just about every park in the city of College Station. As it pertains to, I guess, the government side, I've gone to College Station Citizens University, the College Station Fire Department, I served on the College Station Parks and Recreation Advisory Board for 3 years. Then I went through the Chamber of Commerce Legislative Leadership Brazos and served on the Legislative Affairs Committee. So I've got quite a bit of experience and community knowledge that I think I bring to the table. In addition to, I guess, my work has always been private sector. So in working with the private sector, there are any number of issues that come up. You're constantly looking for efficiencies, ways of doing things better than you were the day before, budget constraints, personnel constraints, any number of issues along those lines. I think my experience makes me suitable for this position, and that's why I'm seeking election for College Station City Council Place 1.
Thank you. The opening comments of Sean Rhodes. Now we'll turn to Place 3, Carl Mooney.
Well, thank you all for being here. It's an honor to be before you this evening and also to be able to share the dais with my fellow colleagues here who are giving up their time and running for office. I believe that running for office is a civic responsibility. It's also an honor, and I take that very seriously. When I first came to College Station in 1989, I saw a lot of the growth that I had witnessed in my earlier years, where I had served as a police officer, teacher, university administrator, which I also was here and still am here at Texas A&M. I found it to be a bit disconcerting when I saw the kinds of growth that Blanche had mentioned just a little bit earlier. And so I was fortunate to be able to sit on the Planning and Zoning Commission for a number of years and actually became its chair. Some of the developments that we see throughout town now, I can proudly point to. There are a few that I would wish we had made some other decisions about. Not all the decisions that were passed were mine. Sometimes I disagreed, sometimes I agreed. But that's part of what government is about. As we came through the recent months here within the city's governing problems and issues, I felt that there was a disconnect happening and certainly a divisiveness that was brewing that I hope that I can address if I become your next council member.
The opening comments of Carl Mooney. Now the second place three candidate, Arthur Pinto.
Again, I want to thank everyone that is here to listen to us tonight and those that have been, that have made this a possibility. My name is Arthur Pinto and I'm a candidate for Place 3 College Station City Council. I am a retired mechanical engineer with management experience as a senior plant engineer. I also owned and ran small businesses in New Jersey, Florida, and Texas. I'm running for City Council in order to help restore fiscal discipline to our budget and so that our council more closely reflects the community's values. I want to bring fiscal responsibility to our government. My goal is to help bring civility and respect both to my colleagues and to the citizens of College Station. My prior service in the military and in the private sector as a department head, as well as a small business owner, have prepared me to face to the challenges of finding common ground and solutions to difficult problems. I have actively participated to learn how our city works. I have attended Citizens University and the Police and Fire Academies. I regularly attend council meetings. I have applied to major city committees, but never called to serve. I am Arthur Pinto. I am a conservative, and I am the change our council needs.
The comments of Arthur Pinto. Now we turn to place five. First, Sherry Ellison.
I am Sherry Ellison. I have lived here for 26 years. In that time, College Station has grown enormously. In the past 10 years, we've added 25,000 more people, and now we're at 95,000 people. We have citizens who have lived here their whole lives, and others who will only live here for a year. But every one of them want a strong police department, a strong fire department, good roads, reliable electricity. They want good sanitation, sewer service, and drainage that actually works. They also depend on the city for the library, for recreational reading, and for education. And they depend on the parks for healthy exercise and for fun. I have worked on as a neighborhood president, and I have worked on committees with the city. I have gone to many citizen information meetings to give input. And I now, since I retired, have the time to use that background to listen to citizens, to hear their concerns and issues, and then as a member of the council, try to do their wishes. Thank you.
The opening comments of Sherry Ellison. Now the opening comments of Hal Hawkins.
My name's Hal Hawkins. I'm running for place five. The reason I'm running, plain and simple, is I love this city. It's one of the reasons I grew back, moved back here. It's one of the friendliest cities I've ever lived in. I've lived in cities where it's like pulling teeth to get people to talk to, and that's just not the case here. But I'm concerned with the direction the city council is taking us right now. I don't believe it fits with the personality that College Station has shown me. I believe that College Station needs true fiscal and social conservative leadership and policy making. I will commit myself to being practical, to keeping an open ear, an open door. I want to reduce the burden this economic downturn has placed on everyone. I want to do that by reducing our utility rates, by paying down our debt, and by eliminating regulations and ordinances that have started to interfere with our lives. I think this can be a great city. I think it's been a good city. But I think there's a lot more we can do, and I think there's a lot we need to repair. And I think that's the kind of relationship I can bring to the city council. Thank you.
The opening comments of Hal Hawkins. And the final candidate present tonight for place five, Julie Schultz.
Thank you. And I also would like to thank the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce, WTAW, and KBTX for hosting this forum, and for all of you folks out there that took your time to come and visit us this evening, and for those listening at home. There are many issues that we face in our community, and this election is going to be one of the most important ones we've ever held. The city council race is about who is best suited to represent you, your families, your businesses, your hopes and dreams for a bright future in College Station. I believe there are two directions the city can take: a divided city hall torn by negative politics, or a unified community working together to enhance the quality of life for all its citizens. Of the candidates in this race, I have lived in this community the longest and know the rich history and tradition that it embodies. I grew up in this town. I want to see College Station live up to its potential. As a small business owner, I know what it means to balance a checkbook and meet financial obligations. As a mother, I know the quality of life and positive elements that families look for in a community when deciding where to raise their children. As a former employee of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce, I know what it means to have a business-friendly environment and how important that is. I believe that the citizens at College Station want their government to be small, effective, and responsive.
Opening comments of Julie Schultz. Now we'll begin with questions. We'll begin with place three. Mr. Pinto, you will answer first. What do you see as the City of College Station's job to attract and retain businesses?
Whether it's to attract new business or expand existing business, I think the city government should assist, streamline the process, expedite the permitting process as well, because commerce, whether it's retail business or other commerce, it's the lifeblood of any community. They provide jobs, economic stimulus, and it's extremely necessary to have that tax base to help defray the costs of running the government.
Do you have evidence that the permitting process has been slowed down?
It's a complaint that I have heard from many, many people as I do block walk and talk with the people in the campaign trail. And they feel that, in general, the city of College Station is unfriendly to businesses, yes.
Comments of Arthur Pinto. Same question for you, Place 3 candidate Carl Mooney. What is the City of College Station's job to attract and retain business?
Certainly the city can't do that on its own. There are a number of entities within the community that the city should rely on, realizing that the city by itself doesn't have the full expertise that those other entities can provide. However, the city can be very proactive in maintaining a vigilance over its comprehensive plan so that the comprehensive plan, which is required by the state to be updated every 5 years, is reviewed intermittently, particularly when it's clear that new businesses are being attracted to the area. Within that comprehensive plan and looking at the business corridors, the city should practice what's called nodal development. That means that the neighborhoods that are nearest those businesses as they develop will not be adversely affected, such as we had a situation very recently down near Rock Prairie Road and Highway 6. If we were to do that kind of action and to persist in the kind of annual development and reviews that we need to do, working with our own planning and zoning, we'd be in a better shape.
You said other entities. Would you explain who the other entities are?
Well, for example, sure. Economic development, the chamber, which is right here. Rumors are rampant in this community, as we all know. When we hear of a business that might find this area attractive, we need to step up and go forward and approach them, not wait for them to come to us. For those of us who live here in College Station, all we need to do is go up to Boonville Road, take a look at the development that's occurred there, and we can all point to some businesses that first wanted to come to College Station.
Thank you. The comments of Carl Mooney. Now we'll move to place one. Sean Rhodes, you'll answer first. What is the city's job, in your view, to attract and or retain businesses?
First of all, I'd like to say it's not the city's job to pick winners and losers. I think we should provide an equal playing field and let the businesses that want to come here come here. We have any number of things that we should market. We have an excellent workforce, very highly trained from Texas A&M University and Blinn. We have low crime rates. We have excellent parks. Our community has any number of things to give for a prospective employer. I don't think that we need to basically buy businesses to come here. I think we provide plenty of that on our own. As long as things are done within the proper zoning, I think we're okay.
The comments of Sean Rhodes. Blanche Brick, same question.
Well, I think what we should do is first and foremost have a quality of life in this community that we believe is attractive, and that then other people will be drawn to this. Obviously, we are part of a large research university community, so there are going to be opportunities for research and for the development of that research, as we're already seeing in the bio corridor that is developing out on Highway 47. We need to support those. There can be support in infrastructure. We should support them by working with the county and with the city of Bryan in every way that we can to make this development possible and not more cumbersome than necessary. But we basically have to have the kind of city that offers good neighborhoods, parks, opportunities for health services, which we're seeing expanding in the medical corridor now. We need to be sure and to support the arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll turn to the candidates for place five. Hal Hawkins, you'll answer first. What is the city's job to attract and or retain businesses?
Well, I think the city's job is to be less interfering. I've spoken with a lot of college students and recent graduates, and they would love to stay here, but frankly, the jobs aren't available. One of the reasons why is we're not as competitive as a lot of other cities. Take, for example, our neighboring city of Bryan. You know, their utility rates are 30% lower than ours, and a lot of companies with high overhead costs can save more on utilities than they'll lose on an increase in property taxes. We charge businesses to come in thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars in fees, and I think we should be able to waive those fees because the long-term benefit of bringing in new companies and new jobs will outweigh the short-term gain of charging them that much money to start a business here.
All businesses would have their fees waived?
Yes.
Okay. Same question for you, Sherry Ellison. What should College Station do to attract and or retain businesses?
I think they have to work through the economic development department and also work with the Chamber of Commerce, and they have to get the word out that our city is a great city to work in, that we do have, as has been mentioned already, people who are very well qualified, and we have to provide the amenities that make people want to come to this city. Now, the city staff already have fast track for letting developers come in. And if they already have a plan and they meet all the requirements, then they can get through all the processes very quickly. But I do think that it's very important that we continue to have highly qualified city staff that do all the examinations of the plans to make sure everything is safe so that those businesses will succeed and a bad situation won't develop for other incoming businesses. Thank you.
A bad situation, how?
Well, I would want the standards to remain high. And if you don't have people that you're paying to be well qualified to make businesses reach those standards, then you're not going to have an even playing field for all the businesses that are here.
Thank you. Julie Schultz, same question.
Well, I know that we have an entity in place that helps get businesses to come to this community, the Research Valley Partnership. We help fund that entity, and they do a very good job in bringing businesses to our community. I am hesitant to be overly excited about incentives, but I do think they're required and that other cities are offering them, and you have to be competitive. I think a big piece of this is being friendly to folks that want to start a business, want to grow their business, build a new business. In my work with the Chamber of Commerce and with my current business, I hear over and over and over how difficult it is to do business with the city. And I don't think it's intentional. I think that sometimes there's just not the right information given to everyone. But I think that's something, a big thing that I'd like to work on.
The comments of Julie Schultz. We're going to have Place 5 answer first, and Sherry Ellison will come back to you, and you'll answer first. Have you looked at the College Station current city budget? And if you have, what are the things that jump out at you as positives and negatives?
The positives are that we're very definitely working hard to make sure our police and fire are out there and have the staffing that they need, and that we're going to have a new fire station coming in on place. So that takes care of the real core that most people are concerned about when they move into a city. But we are budgeting for all the other things that it takes to make a city successful. On the other hand, every single department throughout the city has worked hard to cut back where they could and to not delete services. So there are jobs that have not been filled. There are things that they cut back on in terms of training, in terms of putting off on some equipment work, in terms of the materials that they use, the type of paper they use.
Thank you. Comments of Sherry Ellison. Do you want to be any more specific? If not, that's fine. I was looking for any line items that you really noticed. Okay, and that's fine. Same question to you, Hal Hawkins. Have you had a look at the College Station city budget currently? What jumps out at you as a positive or a negative?
My biggest concern would be our debt that we've accumulated over the past few decades. We have, according to the Texas Bond Review Board, over $311 million in debt obligations. That's about $3,300 for every man, woman, and child in College Station. We pay about $24 million in debt service, principal and interest. And I think that's a burden we can't keep putting on our citizens. Our last bond will not expire, will not be paid off until 2029. And that's if we stop issuing more bonds. And so I think the first step would be to pay down our debt, to create a rainy day fund, and stop adding to our budget with high interest costs and with large, you know, principal obligations.
Number one, interest costs aren't that high right now. Number two, a city cannot operate on a zero budget. You have to have capital projects, and bonds are how those are funded.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'd like to create a rainy day fund, so that we don't have to ask the citizens to accumulate more, to add more to their debt load. You know, I think also we can earn a lot of capital by selling off unused or underused real estate assets that we have. The city totals them out at about $24 million. That's a lot in capital we could use to either create a rainy day fund or to reduce our debt.
Okay, well, we may revisit that at some point. Same question for you, Julie Schultz.
Well, I do know that the current council is looking at some things to reduce the budget, and I'm in agreement with outsourcing some of those things, some of the maintenance for the parks and that sort of thing is occurring right now. I am more curious about being able to just give money to other organizations in the community. I've never, since I've lived here, understood why the city does that. I've been a part of many nonprofits, and all of them never received that handout. I know about raising money for nonprofits, and I think that that's something that I really want to look at if I'm elected.
Comments of Julie Schultz. Now to place three candidates, Carl Mooney, you'll answer first. Have you looked at the College Station city budget? What jumps out at you as positives or negatives?
Well, the positives first come to our city council has done a great job of reducing our annual budget by just under $3 million over the past 2 years. I think they should be applauded for that effort while still maintaining our core services. I have to take issue, though, with what I'm hearing about $330 million or such, because really, that's playing with numbers. Folks, that would be like someone who buys a house at $200,000 at 5% interest, saying that over 30 years, their total payment would be $386,511. All right, and that doesn't come from me. That comes from an accountant. All right. In addition, right now, the city has assets of about $5.4 billion. Of that, that means that, and then with the debt that we have, that really comes down to $61 million, which is waste and water, which is handled by its own revenue sources. And then the remaining $188 actually comes down to that not $3,300 per capita, but $1,400 and a little bit more.
All right, thank you. again, we don't want to get bogged down in numbers. We may come back and revisit this. Place three, Arthur Pinto, same question. Have you looked at the budget of College Station? What do you see as positives and negatives?
Yes, I have. I have looked at the fiscal 2011, and being a conservative that really believes in fiscal responsibility, I'm extremely concerned with the amount of debt that we have. And I don't believe it's $330 million that my opponent has mentioned. I think it's $230 million that we owe in principle. If we add another $80 million that it's interest that will have to be paid, we have an outstanding debt of almost $12 million. And, of course, that's not only the principal, is the interest as well, but we have to pay the interest. So what we owe is $312 million. I'm concerned with the general fund. And one of the things that pays that adds to that fund, it's this electrical surcharge, which in my opinion is just a hidden tax that impacts those that have the least ability to pay.
We'll come back to that. I want to give you an opportunity to follow up because you said the same thing Mr. Hawkins did. So I'll ask you, there are capital projects that must be funded. You must have some sort of debt. A city is going to incur debt. How can you really say that we could go to a zero budget and, in fact, have a rainy day fund?
Well, I'm also for the rainy day fund. And I understand that some of these projects have to be financed the way it has been done for the last 50 years, by the bond process. What we should not be incurring unnecessary debt to do things that we have to understand that there is an economic downturn and we should not do spend more or incur more debt for projects that are nice to have, but we don't have to have. We have to focus.
Your word, what is unnecessary debt in your view right now?
Well, for example, the expansion of the Wolf Creek Park, the water feature, and all the other work that is going to be done at the same time.
Okay. Comments of Arthur Pinto. Now we'll move to place one. Sean Rhodes, have you looked at the College Station city budget? Do you see positives and negatives there?
I have. And in speaking with members of staff, my understanding of the budget right now is it's not in that bad a shape. We are running something of a surplus for the general fund. The way it was explained to me is we have basically the capacity, if the city were to bring in zero funding, we could operate for 15% of the year without having a budget deficit on the annual basis. So in that sense, I think we do have something of a rainy day fund to some degree. I've also been told that it was probably a better idea to move that to a higher percentage, where now it's at about 15%. We could move to 20-25 according to bonding agencies. I guess one of the things that concerns me on spending is the way the CIPs have been run. I think sometimes when we see that in a bond election, it can be somewhat disingenuous, and although people do vote for them, they may not understand all the nuance of what exactly they're voting for.
Okay. So folks will know CIP is Capital Improvement Plan. That's Sean Rhodes. Blanche Brick, have you seen the College Station city budget and the high points and low points as far as you're concerned?
Yes, I've seen it. I like to look at it in the pie chart better than all the figures across the columns. I think that the council, as been pointed out, has done a good job in that we do not have new taxes that have been added on. I think we've done a fair job of keeping up with what I think is very important, and that is preventive maintenance. In my visits with the fire chief, with the police chief, I asked specifically, were we lacking in these things? Because support for core services is very important to me. And it seems that we have made the moves that we needed to make. As far as our debt service that I've heard a lot about and have very little time to discuss, I would say that still we have an equal debt service. I think with cities like San Marcos that are equally growing as fast, and we have a good bond rating, a AA bond rating. So it's pretty solid to me.
The comments of Blanche Brick. Now we'll come back to place five, and Julie Schultz, you'll answer first. While you did not say it, one of the candidates here at the forum tonight mentioned the return on investment, the ROI that comes out of the electrical fund that goes into the general budget. Are you in favor of the way that is handled right now? If not, how would you want it changed?
Well, I'm a little bit of a disadvantage in that I'm not as thoroughly informed about that. It would be something that I would want to investigate and understand a little bit better before I make a decision one way or the other.
Okay, the comments of Julie Schultz. Hal Hawkins, same question to you.
Well, they call it, I think it's misinformed when they call it a return on investment, because for the most part, only College Station citizens actually pay it. So how is it a return on investment when you're the only ones having to manage that cost? I think it's just a better way of saying it's a tax without actually having to say so. And I don't think it's fair to charge citizens more than what they've incurred for their electricity. I think it's just one of the reasons why we haven't been fiscally responsible is we have to tax our citizens extra in order to pay for more items in our general fund. I think roughly $8 million comes out of your pockets to go to the general fund, not back to public works. And I think that's something that either needs to stay in public works or needs to be removed altogether to get your utility rates down.
If elected, you would?
I would explore all options as far as removing that ROI.
The comments of Hal Hawkins. Sherry Ellison, same question. The return on investment portion of the electrical fund that's moved into the general fund. Are you in favor of that? Would you like to see it changed?
No, I'm in favor of it because we're talking about $8 million right there just out of the electricity fund. We're talking about another $1.5 million from water and then $1.5 million from wastewater million dollars. And if you take that out, that simply means that we then have to raise our property taxes, or we have to put in place a lot of other fees to replace it, or we cut services severely. And from what I get from talking to citizens, they're not ready to have all those services cut. Now, the council listens, and where needed, they cut things back. And city staff works very hard to do that, too. But I would not change that.
Comments of Sherry Ellison. Carl Mooney, same question.
I'm in favor of retaining the ROI fee. Simply put, we have, of the residential units we have in the city, nearly 70% of them are rented units. That means that those individuals who rent them, if you want to apply the label college students, because that's a large portion of those folks, all right, they are then paying revenue to the city, right, to help us with their use of roads and other services that we have throughout our community. So it makes good sense for them to be sharing in that. In fact, our property taxes are lower than those in Bryan just because of the ROI, as well as a few other features. But that's certainly something that helps us enjoy the property tax levels that we have so that our property owners in College Station don't get faced with those higher property taxes.
Comments of Carl Mooney. Now, Mr. Pinto, you have a full minute to talk about the ROI.
I take a different view to that. I think this fee is nothing but a hidden tax that affects, that impacts those that have the least ability to pay, the poor and those on fixed incomes. We don't have to raise taxes to eliminate that. And if elected, I will immediately initiate the process of looking at gradually eliminated that surcharge. I think if we do this gradually, probably through a three-year period, we can find areas where we can cut without sacrificing core services. Perhaps we can sell properties that we own now and we don't need, they are unnecessary and they should be divested, in my opinion. That would reduce the payments we do now on interest and would reduce our debt load and would put these properties back on the tax rolls where they belong so the private sector can develop them and
right.
Create
a... Thank you very much. The comments of Arthur Pinto. Now, Blanche Brick, same question for you. Should we hold on to the ROI?
Yes, I do. I favor that. I don't see it as a hidden tax. Everyone knows what they're paying. They get an electric bill, and they can see it right up front. I do believe it is a way of sharing the costs and not putting all of the burden on property owners or tax-paying property owners. We either have to do that or we have to increase the sales tax if we do not have the 14%, as I understand it, that comes from the utility fund for the ROI. I'm not sure that we could make that up very readily and make very many people very happy. You can control a little bit of your utility bill. And in visiting with David Massey at the utility office, I was under the impression that they were also looking at whether that is a fair rate of profit and return, and that should come forward. And if it isn't, then we look at something else.
Sean, the comments of Blanche Brick. Sean Rhodes, same question.
First off, my understanding of the ROI is it could be easily equated with the company's profits. So what you're doing with that money, in theory, would be used for future capital improvements within those divisions. That concept I don't especially have a problem with. In speaking with staff, I've also been told that the numbers are a little bit high and we could scale that back some. I think it would be fiscally irresponsible to attempt to eliminate it completely at this time, but because so much money would be lost from the budget that we can't replace. But if we redirect where those funds are headed so that they can be used in much the same way a business would, provided something goes wrong, then I think that would be a more sound use of that fund and would be better off in the long run for our citizens.
You're listening to the Candidates Forum, live from the College Station Hilton, co-sponsored by the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce, WTAW Radio, and KBTX.com. We are currently being streamed on WTAW 1620 and also on KBTX.com. And tonight's forum will be archived at WTAW.com. All right, I think we can probably do this in about a 30-second answer. We'll start with you, Julie Schultz. Is it time for single-member districts in College Station?
Actually, I think that's a very good idea, just so you have full representation from each part of the cities. I'm definitely a proponent of that, so you don't have just one group representing in all the council places if all of those folks are the ones that turn out and vote. The key to that not being, keeping it like it is more people just need to get out and vote.
Comments of Julie Schultz. Hal Hawkins.
I have no issue with it being an at-large. That is the full definition, or the definition of being full representation. Everybody votes for you. If you're in one precinct and you don't like what another councilman in another precinct is doing, there's nothing you can do about it unless you move there. At least with this process right now, everybody has a voice with every city council member that is currently sitting.
Comments of Hal Hawkins. Sherry Ellison, is it time for single-member districts in College Station?
I think we could look at it. I'm not sure that that's the answer. If you have a district where not that many people vote, then you're really not being as effective as you need to be. At this point, I think we're still okay in the districts that we have, but they are it is hard to reach everybody.
Those are the place five candidates. Now place three candidates, Carl Mooney.
I don't have a problem with studying it, but in looking at our community and how we have rental homes and apartments and such scattered throughout the community in some places more densely than others, I think we might find it to be a challenge to find a significant number of voters in some of those areas that would be truly representative and have voting rights here in the Brazos County area.
The comments of Carl Mooney. Arthur Pinto.
Obviously, there is pros and cons, as it has been expressed by others. I think it should be studied. Again, I think it would be easier for a person to know that they are represented by a specific member of the city council. I think we could do the same thing as what the police is doing by assigning beats to the areas of the city. It's easier to find the person that we have to talk to, and there is always someone there 24/7.
Right.
To
thank you. The comments of Arthur Pinto. Blanche Brick.
Well, I basically think that the at-large system has served us well in College Station. I think that if my property value is not increased, if some other part of the city is allowed to go down and not be kept up. So I support that for that reason primarily. I have also noticed that, just trying to think of the council members that I know where they do live, I can think of five different neighborhoods that are represented. So I don't think it's all from one group right now.
The comments of Blanche Brick. Sean Rhodes.
I'm not aware of any push at this time for single-member districts. If there is, I'd certainly be willing to listen to it. The way I look at running for city council and representing our city is that I would be elected by the city to represent the entire city. And if elected, that would be my intent, not to serve any particular district, or any particular neighborhood organization, but represent the entire city.
Comments of Sean Rhodes. Again, 30 seconds. We'll start with you, Sherry Ellison. Should city council members in College Station be paid? If so, how much?
Well, I suspect we'd have more people interested in running if they had salaries. That's a good question. I'm not sure how that would change how people work on the council. It would give an opportunity for more people. Because certainly for myself, I wasn't going to try to be on the council until I was retired because my particular job just didn't allow the time to go to all those meetings.
Comments of Sherry Ellison. Hal Hawkins, same question.
I would never vote myself a salary if that's what you're asking, but I think there are pros and cons to it. I do think if they were paid, you would see more small businessmen getting involved in politics because they could offset the costs they lose by working with the city council and, you know, and use those funds they earned by being on the city council and pay someone, you know, to help them out with their, you know, their small business and, you know, stuff like that.
The comments of Hal Hawkins. Julie Schultz.
Well, considering that we've been talking quite a bit about lowering costs and expenses for the city, I wouldn't vote for doing that. As just my personal opinion, I've volunteered for many other organizations and found time to do it, plus have jobs and take care of children. So this is a very generous community, and I think that wouldn't necessarily bring you a greater amount of people to the election process. I would vote not to do that.
Thanks. The comments of Julie Schultz. Blanche Brick.
I would agree. I don't see any great call for it at this point in time. I could probably use the extra money, but getting a big salary at Bland has been great. But anyway, I just feel that this has served us well. We've done a good job. I think we do have a lot of people that do volunteer for things in the community, and that's one of the unique aspects of this community.
Comments of Blanche Brick. Sean Rhodes.
I would not be for putting a pay raise for city council members. I think it's good that they volunteer their time and efforts to be on city council. Excuse me, and wouldn't recommend changing that in any way.
Carl Mooney.
I would not be in favor of it, particularly in the current economic climate. I think your true compensation as a city council member comes from the fruits of your labors and service to your community.
Comments of Carl Mooney. Arthur Pinto.
Again, I'm semi-retired, and I have the time to devote to this, and that's one of the reasons I'm running. I think if I was not running, I would probably agree that a small compensation would be in order. But since I'm running, I'm going to refrain from saying yes or no. I think it's the proper thing to do. Again, it wouldn't have swayed me one way or the other. The reason I'm here tonight is because I wanted to represent, to provide a service to my community, whether it's paid or not.
Comments of Arthur Pinto. We'll stay with place three candidates. Carl Mooney, if you'll answer first. We've had some discussion tonight about impact fees. Let's go back to 1 minute. We've had some discussion about impact fees. Transportation has been something that College Station has struggled with for a long time as they continue to grow. Is an impact fee the best way to fund transportation in College Station as it grows, or do you have another plan?
Well, impact fees are going to be somewhat of a challenge for us in the years to come, particularly with what we're seeing in the current real estate market. As I didn't mention earlier, I do have experience as a real estate person as well as property manager, and I've handled the development of some properties, $23 million budget annually and a $55 million football stadium in another position I had. So I am aware of the impact that impact fees can have, using the word twice. And so I get a little concerned about what I can see as far as our builders in the area being able to be competitive, particularly as home values decline in the current market. We have homes that are sitting vacant for a considerable amount of time, and the builders aren't going to be able to compete. So unless we find a way of reducing, not eliminating, impact fees, I think we're going to be in for some hard times ahead.
comments of Carl Mooney. Arthur Pinto, same question.
Well, as we know, the transportation fee was defeated at the ballot box, and that tells us the mindset of our constituency that we do not want any more, either we call it fees or some form of taxation. I think we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. We should look at areas where we can make more cuts. We have to focus on providing safety, public safety, and a reliable infrastructure. Everything else, we should look at where we can save, and instead of looking at more ways of revenue and call them fees, we should look at ways of saving taxpayers' dollars and not increase with more fees.
I'll give you 30 seconds if you want to give us some specifics as to where the cuts should be.
Well, as I said, with the exclusion of public safety and the public works, we should look at probably outsourcing more services that would be more efficient if they are done by the private sector than by our city employees. Not that I think they are all good employees and they're doing the best they can, but it's just the structure of government is not the same as the private sector. The private sector can do the same thing by spending less money and providing a better job sometimes.
Okay. Thank you. The comments of Arthur Pinto. Now we'll turn to the Place 5, Sherry Ellison. Question as far as funding for transportation in the future in College Station.
Well, since the citizens said they didn't want to do it via a fee, I think we have to listen to that. But that does mean that we're going to have to depend on our capital improvements bonds to handle more of the transportation costs. And I don't have a better answer on that. Because there are just simply maintenance problems that we have to address so things don't get too bad.
Comments of Sherry Ellison. Hal Hawkins, same question.
Well, as everybody's been saying, the people were clear that they don't want any added taxes to pay for their transportation or the infrastructure for transportation. It seems to me that most people are pretty happy with the infrastructure right now. If they didn't want to pay to improve it, you know, I think impact fees are what are end up being passed down to or passed on to the consumer. I think that's one of the reasons why real estate prices have not decreased as rapidly as a lot of other cities, because home builders, they've got to make back that cost that they've had to pay the city, and so they're passing it on to the citizens. And I think if we reduced and perhaps even eliminated a lot of them, we would see those new homes being filled up a lot more quickly.
Comments of Hal Hawkins. Julie Schultz, same question.
Well, I also think impact fees are a bit controversial. It seems unfair to me to tax just a particular type of business. If we need those fees or we need money, I would be interested in looking at a way to get it from everybody across the board instead of just that one occupation. It's really not fair to do that just to them. And like several people have said, if we make the house costs, the housing costs so high that they are too high for the market, then that's just makes folks go somewhere else and buy the product somewhere else. I am not in favor of impact fees. I'm in favor of trying to cut the budget to find another way to pay for those, what is a core service, taking care of your roads.
Comments of Julie Schultz. Okay, it's time for another 30-second quick hitter. We'll start with you, Blanche Brick. Did you sign any of the recall petitions, yes or no?
We didn't answer the re.
I'm sorry.
But I really need clarification. You said transportation fees.
Uh-huh.
But we've also heard answers on.
You want to talk about other. Well,
other
transportation fees been
fees.
Voted down. There's still going to need to be funding there. The idea is
right.
How do you fund the future as far as transportation is concerned?
Well, that's why I was trying to get clarification. We have to engage in maintenance of our roads. And I don't think many people like some of the traffic problems that already exist. We see that the traffic and the new development and growth here has really gotten ahead of many of our main arteries and streets. And we're going to have to do something to fund that. Now, whether it's a transportation fee or tax, that would have to be looked at as to how we can come up with that money. to do it. Now, as far as impact fees on the builders, that's a different matter, and I think that I've said straight through, I think that everybody should bear a fair market share for the business that they're doing in this city. And that applies to the citizens that are going into the new neighborhoods. It applies to those who are building them. It applies to all of us. That's how we built the city, is moving ahead with that type of idea and sharing it.
The comments of Blanche Brick. Sean Rhodes, same question.
I'm not a fan of the impact fees. Like several of the other people mentioned, it was voted down. I think it was a bad idea. When given the opportunity to speak on this particular subject with one of the current councilmen, I pretty much blamed it on an inability of the council to properly budget. Of course, that was not a politely received. But the fact of the matter is, we bring in money to the budget. We're supposed to be taking care of our core services first, and we have to make sure that that's done before we do some of the other extraneous spending. If we find better efficiencies within all of the different levels of government, then I think we can do a good job of maintaining the streets, which are a core service and should be one of the most important things that we look at.
Okay. That's the comments of Sean Rhodes. All right, now we'll move to place three. Now the 32nd. Did you sign any, Carl Mooney, did you sign any of the recall petitions?
Absolutely not.
Arthur Pinto.
Yes, I did. And my understanding at the time, and I was not running for office, and I also wrote a letter to the paper, to the Eagle, to the editor that was never published, urging the council to look at how easy these signatures were being collected and urge them to revisit the issue and stop the fast track that they were engaging in and at least wait for what the Texas legislature was going to do as far as the state statute that governs annexation in the state of Texas.
Comments of Arthur Pinto. Sherry Ellison.
I never saw one of them, but I certainly would never have signed it. I figure that our council were following state laws. They made a good faith effort. They worked with city staff making a good faith effort, and I think they did things correctly.
That's Sherry Ellison's comments. Hal Hawkins.
I did sign it. I was one of the first people to sign it.
All three?
All three.
Okay.
And, you know, I signed it months before I even considered running. I also, you know, want people to realize that it's a petition. Nobody's been voted out of office yet. Nobody knew if it was going to succeed or fail when I signed it. And if it ended up being the wrong thing, then the people will vote against it in the ballot, box. If they agree with me, then they'll vote for it.
Comments of Hal Hawkins. And finally, Julie Schultz.
I did not sign the recall petition, and I will say for the record, I'm part of the Citizens Against Recall, and I'm concerned that so many people that did not participate in the election of those city council members were allowed to be a part of the recall.
Now it's time for our closing comments. You'll have one. Oh, I'm sorry. I know. I keep asking. I know. It's nothing personal.
Going to the next.
There you go.
No, I did not sign a recall, and in fact, I think it's an abuse of the power of that function of our government, a very important power, but not used correctly here. Possibly it should have been aimed towards state representatives because the law is a state law, and we've had a representative that knew that area quite well, and they could have worked together for the past 12 years and did not to change that law.
Blanche Brick's comments. Sean Rhodes.
I did not sign the recall petition. I find it unfortunate when citizens feel like that's the only recourse they have left, and I think some people certainly feel that way, and I would, of course, defend their right to express themselves that way. I don't agree with it. I don't think any of the council members did anything that justified the recall process.
Now it's time for closing comments. You'll have 1 minute. We'll begin with Sean Rhodes, the candidates for place one. First, with a closing comment of 1 minute, Sean Rhodes.
Well, I would like to thank all the people listening. Thank the Chamber for putting this on, WTIW for hosting us, and, of course, KBTX for filming this. It's a wonderful thing to be able to get out in front of the citizens and try to explain where you're coming from, why you're running for office. And I think you all have done an excellent job of making that available. And I hope it's been as instructive for the people listening as it has been for me up here on the panel.
Closing comments of Sean Rose. And now the other Place One candidate, Blanche Brick.
Thank you. Thank everyone for being here tonight and helping us think through these issues. I told you to begin with, I have a deep and abiding appreciation for the democratic process, and I believe a major part of keeping that process working is to operate with a degree of civility and respect for those that we may disagree with. And I can pledge to you that that will be my number one issue on the council. In addition, I support full funding of core services, preventive maintenance of all of the issues we've discussed tonight. I want to avoid any new taxes, if at all possible, and I support fair and reasonable regulations. Thank you.
Closing comments of Blanche Brick. The closing comments of, now we turn to Place 3, the closing comments of Arthur Pinto.
My opponent has stated that our debt is not a problem. I could not disagree more. The voters have a clear choice. We can continue spending like it's other people's money, or we can start to treat how we deal with our tax dollars like it's our money. I am very concerned about our financial future and all at all levels of government. It's time for reform. The reform must start right here with the City Council. You have the choice of an establishment candidate that favors continuing the status quo or a fiscal conservative that understands that every dollar spent from City Hall is your money. I have lived the American dream. It's our duty to keep that dream alive and well for the next generation. That's why I'm running for City Council. That dream starts at home. This is our home. Let's make it the best it can be. I am Arthur Pinto, and I'm asking for your support. God bless and thank you.
Closing comments of Arthur Pinto. And now the second candidate for Place 3, Carl Mooney.
Well, in his closing comments, you've just heard from my opponent, who has expressed to you the same divisiveness that has rocked our City Council over the past 7 months. I have never said that our budget was nothing to be concerned about. I am concerned about it, and I've expressed that. Instead, I focus on recall, something that is an abuse of the opportunities and opportunists that are behind it. I've got experience in planning and zoning, something that my opponent does not have. And I hope that as you look at my candidacy and look around at some of the things that we've been able to accomplish over the years here in College Station, you'll see that good things have been accomplished by some great leaders in our community. It's time that we step forward. It's time that we set aside the divisiveness. It's time that we address our core services first and set aside the nonsense that's been following us for the last 7 months. I'm Carl Mooney, and I hope to be your next council member.
Closing comments of Carl Mooney. You're listening to WTAW College Station, Brian. Now we turn to Place 5, the closing comments of Julie Schultz.
I've lived in College Station, as I've said before, for over 40 years. I purchased my first home here. My husband and I started a business here, and I chose to raise my children here. I believe growth is essential to maintain the quality of life that we all enjoy, and I believe that we must have that to continue managing core city services, but with respect to every taxpayer's dollar. I believe College Station needs principal leadership devoted to preserving and improving our quality of life and small town values while ushering in the conveniences and opportunities of big city amenities. I believe College Station City Council needs to foster a decision-making process and build consensus on the principles that we agree on rather than introduce negative and divisive partisan politics seeking to divide our citizens. Thank you again to the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce for hosting this, and I would appreciate WTAW and KBTX.
Thank you. The closing comments of Julie Schultz. Now, Place 5 candidate Hal Hawkins.
In his final address as president, Ronald Reagan spoke of the shining city on a hill. He envisioned it as a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with peoples of all kinds, living in harmony and peace, a city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be a city, had to be city walls, the walls had doors and the doors were open to anyone with the will and heart to get there. That's how he saw it, and that's how I would like to see our city. If you believe the same thing, I hope we can stand together 3 years from now and say exactly what Reagan said. My friends, we did it. We weren't just marking time, we made a difference. We made the city stronger, we made the city freer, and we left her in good hands. All in all, not bad. Not bad at all. Thank you.
The closing comments of Hal Hawkins, and finally, the closing comments of Sherry Ellison.
I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce, its members. I want to thank WTAW, and I want to thank KTBX for giving this opportunity for the citizens of College Station to learn about their candidates, to hear all of our different words. And now I encourage you all to go and vote on those that you think fit what you believe. I will work for the city, citizens of College Station, if I'm elected, to improve a great city, to have outstanding city services, to protect original neighborhoods as well as the newer neighborhoods, and to use taxpayer money on those things that the taxpayers think are important. Thank you very much for coming.
The closing comments of Sherry Ellison. And now to wrap things up, here's Royce Hickman.
Well, I hope, first of all, the live audience will join me in expressing our plan, and I made a statement I truly believe. Some will get more votes than others, but there are no losers up here. You're looking at a group of winners because they got involved in the process, and that's why our country's so great, and I appreciate that. I also want to express my appreciation to WTAW, Brian Broadcasting, Ben Downs. I appreciate this partnership we've had for so many years, and I look forward to us continuing that. Scott DeLucia, Chase Murphy, you're both real pros. Thank you so much for moderating tonight's event. Chris and Andrew, thank you for your support of this as well, and thanks to KBTX.com as well. I also appreciate our board, whose vision started this some years ago. We have seven board members here. Our chairman, Tap Bench, you've seen earlier. Ben Downs, our chair-elect, with Brian Broadcasting. Sharon Brown, who is the vice chair of our community enhancement group. Eric Wiley, who was your timekeeper. Eric, great job with that. Thank you very much. Wells Fargo Wealth Management. Patricia Gerling, our vice chair of membership, is with us this evening as well from Texas A&M AgriLife. Jared Hicks, Wells Fargo Advisors, and Jackie Flagg from Jackie's. Thank you very much. Hilton, I want to thank Baron Hobbs and his staff. They've been truly great to work with for this event. I thank our Legislative Affairs Committee, many of who are here tonight, to make sure that the questions were brought forward. This event, like most chamber of events, is organized by a volunteer committee. I would encourage all of those that are involved in the chamber to get involved in our activities. We are successful and active because of our volunteer base. I really appreciate the live audience. For those in the radio, we've had over 100 here tonight, and they have been very respectful, and I appreciate that very much. I want to thank Foxfire Homeowners Association. They had a forum tonight as well. They graciously moved that. I would encourage you to support their forum now. That's going to be on May 2nd at 6:30 at Holy Cross Lutheran Church. I also want to remind the audience that early voting is May 2nd through May 10th and encourage you to vote. It does us no good to do this if you don't get out and express your opinion. And finally, I want to thank our chamber staff, Dina Gaskin. There's six of us here tonight. I appreciate Jordan, Anna, Fran, Diana, and Steve all supporting this event tonight as well. And your chamber will be traveling to Washington, D.C. May 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, representing this community on issues that are important to our community. If you have anything to add, I'd wish you'd let me know. Again, I turn it back to you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for the great job tonight.
You've been listening to the Candidates Forum, sponsored by the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce and WTAW, and heard on WTAW 1620 AM and KBTX.com has streamed it. We'll remind you once again that the forum is also going to be in its entirety archived on our website. Thank you very much for joining us, and good night.